begins the season of Advent. We mark this with changes in our liturgies, with changing the color of our vestments and the hangings on the altar, and we vary our music. We kick off the new year with a time of expectant waiting and preparation as we anticipate Jesus coming in two very different but related ways. First, we anticipate his nativity, his arrival at a particular moment of time in flesh and blood in the manger in Bethlehem. But we also look and prepare for Jesus' second advent, his second coming. And the scriptures we hear remind us of these two advents. First, from the prophet Jeremiah, who declares that days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise I made. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David to execute justice and righteousness. Jesus is for us Christians the fulfillment of this prophetic hope. And Luke writes, and actually quotes Jeremiah, if you caught that this morning in Lisa's reading of the gospel, that the future return of the Son of Man will come with him in a cloud with power and great glory. Both of these advents are meant to remind and encourage us that God has been and will be at work in the world. But the advent described in the gospel this morning isn't exactly what the disciples were looking for. It's not what they expected. Jesus and his disciples, if you remember the story, had been in Jerusalem. They'd been walking in the temple precincts. They'd been standing and staring at the marvels of the temple, the magnificent stonework. And they're caught up in all the glory and awe and wonder. Jesus watches them, and finally he says to them that one day not one of these stones in the holiest place in all of Israel be left one on top of the other. And then he begins the passage we hear today. Signs in the heavens and signs in nature that herald the end of the age. Jesus' message is about an ominous future. These signs, this distress among the nations, fear and foreboding among the people. And it resonates, I think, quite well with our world today, where we hear acts of terrorism, domestic violence, environmental changes, political tensions both here and abroad. And Jesus' apocalyptic message then takes on a more heightened meaning. When there is a rise in crime, when there's a rise in violence, or there are economic fluctuations, I don't know about you, but my anxiety increases. How about you? Does it increase? We want, in these times, to have a certain future. So how do we prepare for tomorrow? What signs will show us the way? What can we keep within our control? Because that's what human nature likes, to control. Jesus' disciples were not immune to anxiety, and they asked Jesus the question about when will all this take place? This is what the dire warnings of apocalyptic writings do. They drive us to ask the question of when. When will these events take place? But as followers of Jesus, we live as they have for 2,000 years in the tension between the first advent and the second advent. A time of waiting, a time of wondering. So I turned this week to one of my favorite places to read theology, comic strips. And if you are a fan of Charles Schulz, then in his Peanut comic strip, you may remember this one. It's a scene of Linus and Lucy standing at a window looking out at the falling rain. And Lucy says to Linus, "Boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole earth?" And Linus, who is, as you know, the resident theologian in the Peanuts gang, says, "It will never do that." In the ninth book of the chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that that could never happen again. And the sign of that promise is the rainbow. In the next frame, Lucy is smiling and says to Linus, "Linus, you've taken a great load off my mind." And Linus responds, "Well, sound theology has a way of doing that." Sound theology. Well, that's what leads us to a place of hope, a place of peace. Now, I really don't think that Luke intends for us to get caught up in the question of when the end will come. At best, Luke's writings about times and seasons, well, they're very much vague. Instead, Jesus urges the disciples not to worry about the end or to be enticed by the pleasures of this world. That's what he calls dissipation and drunkenness. Well, ultimately, worry leads only to despair. And living for worldly pleasures makes, well, for irresponsible disciples. Jesus is asking that we watch, that we wait, confident that he will return in God's good time, whenever that might be. In the midst of, well, all the ominous events Jesus describes, he makes a rather amazing claim. Did you catch it? Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Instead of focusing on when, we need to figure out how to live now, in the meantime, in the in-between time of Jesus' birth and his triumphal return, to live faithfully in the present moment. Watchfulness, I believe, is the hallmark for life in the meantime. Because it is when we watch and we wait and we trust in God that we build up hope and courage. It's not all that difficult because we already know the end of the story. We know that death does not keep Jesus bound, that death cannot contain him, that we are indeed followers of a risen Christ. And when trouble surrounds us on every side, stand up, raise your head, for your redemption has already drawn near in Jesus. The in-between time, well, it may be fraught with tension. But when we live in resurrection hope, we're able to embrace more deeply our call to discipleship. Over the Thanksgiving weekend, I was, like many of you, I'm sure, shaken by the news that reported 4 deaths and 19 people wounded at shopping malls around the United States. 4 deaths. 19 wounded individuals. On the same weekend, the news reported an 18% increase in domestic violence in people's homes. 18%. And as we gathered with our family and friends around a table of feasting in the warmth of our homes, we heard the news of more victims of the wildfires. Times and seasons. In spite of these sobering events, we have good news to share. When we hear people voice their fear of violence and terrorism, of refugees and immigrants, of escalating poverty and environmental disasters, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our hands, for our redemption has already drawn near in Jesus of Nazareth. We can draw comfort by gathering here week after week with our family of faith. But I'm not really sure that violence is the greatest threat to us today. I think maybe the greatest threat for us Christians is fear. Because fear drives us to see people in need as the enemy. Fear is more dangerous than violence. Because fear leads us to forget our deepest identity of who we are and whose we are as the daughters and sons of God. Fear makes us betray our most cherished values as Christians, causes us to act in ways that are completely alien to the life and teachings of Jesus. So Jesus this morning warns us against being afraid. Even as changes in the world around us, well, they try to shape our faith. Advent challenges us to remember that in the meantime, we are God's people called to a holy purpose, called to bring peace to the world wherever we can, whenever we can, however we can. A good place to begin is by following Jesus, by doing the things he did when he was here, by caring for the widow, the orphan, the outsider, the alien, the foreigner. We don't have to go very far to do this work. CAC is just down the road. You could even just drop things off here at the church and not even go to the center to volunteer. We have Horizons back in the school. We have all kinds of ways to reach out to those, as we say in our prayers, of the people just outside these walls who suffer and want. As we enter the season of waiting and expectation to meet God once again in the manger in Bethlehem, I want to leave you with a portion of a poem. It was written by Daniel Berrigans, a member of the Society of Jesus. It's entitled Advent Credo. It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction. This is true. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that abundantly. It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word and that war and destruction rule forever. This is true. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Prince of Peace. This is not true, that our hopes for liberation of humankind, of justice, of human dignity, of peace, are not meant for this earth and for this history. This is true. The hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and truth. So let us enter Advent in hope against hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, with courage, Jesus Christ, the life of the world. Amen.